You know, if somebody's not saved, you can't expect them to tell you the truth. If somebody's newly saved and still not growing, is not growing at a decent pace, or in the Word, you know, they're probably going to be believing fake reality bubbles that are just basic, you know. And then you got people who, whether they're not saved or are saved, that they're surrounded by a bunch of unsaved, and their whole group, their group of people is just lost people. You know, it's kind of delusional. Delusional reality. It's delusions. And so the more you, I got this lady beside me swerving at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like, is she drunk at 8 o'clock in the morning? What's up with that? And so you got all these delusions, they're really delusional bubbles, really, that you're rubbing shoulders with, and it's like, you can't even have a conversation with half the people. You know, imagine somebody claiming to be saved and their whole family's Pentecostal and they're dealing with that. How are they going to escape if their bloodline is all Pentecostal, they claim to be saved? How are they going to escape how are they going to go to the next level? I don't get it. I think God tries to yank you out of, you know, just like Abraham, he left the Ur of the Chaldees. Sometimes God's trying to yank you out of certain influence, but they're so tied to their emotional, they put emotions before truth, you know. And that's pretty much what it is across the board. Everything I just said, it's just always about emotions above truth, you know. Everybody deals with the same battle, but it's like certain things are so obvious that it's like you want to shake them and say, wake up, it's easy. The scarcity lie is attacking everybody. The scarcity delusional bubble, fake reality bubble, that's attacking everybody because everybody's under that culture lie. You know, they want to put fear and put scarcity mindset on you, you know. Scarcity lie. I watch these drivers, and it's like certain things they do is just not common sense. You know, maybe it's because I've been doing rideshare for 9 years, or maybe 10 now, I don't know. And you know, you kind of get professional about it, or you're going to have a wreck, or you're going to have some problems, especially if you got people in the back seat. You got other people in your car, strangers, and you have to be super vigilant because I hadn't had any breakfast yet, so I'm talking for you. Got to be super vigilant because you got people in your car. It's dangerous. They need to be paying their drivers $35 an hour. I don't know how this thing hasn't been regulated yet. I can't believe it's not regulated. There's no regulation on it. Now I know why, I kind of know why the cities and the states fought against it. I mean, it's a good thing now, but I know why they fought against it, because it's hard to regulate it, you know. got some loose cannon companies out there just doing whatever to people, and there's no way to regulate them and hold them accountable, because you can't to see the algorithm and to go in there and see what they're really doing. It's a lot. Really a lot. It's easy to see how people get caught up in some. And they're trying to get out, and they're doing their best to get out, you know. And you're watching them, and they don't know how to get out, and they don't know how to escape, and they put themselves there in a rock and a hard, between a rock and a hard place. And it's like, even if they got out, though, they're so used to the trauma and the narcissism and the fake reality that around them, and like, even if they got out, their mind has been abused so much. It's like, I mean, I've seen it with the redneck bloodline. I've seen it with the church going people. I mean, there's stuff going on and I don't care where you go, there's stuff going on that is just so bizarre. I can't even talk about some of it. People act like they want to be free, but they don't. The struggle to get free from these creatures that get into your world is real, but it's not real at the same time, because you're already free. You already see through their game, but they're always messing with you. Especially if money's involved and a place to live or whatever. Fighting the good fight of faith. Paul was a tent maker. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. Now think about that. Can you imagine a pastor running a church and give him a free place to live and all the chaos from the congregation, all the drama and the chaos and the he said, she said and all that, and the insanity that's going on. Can you imagine what's going on in a person like that? To really be, and most of the time, if it's a pastor running the church, his wife's a nurse or something, she's making good money or something, he's really dependent on her in a way. Instead of really being the lead, he's really following. And that's why you have so much drama in the churches, because they can't speak up and speak the truth. And then when somebody out there in the wilderness speaking the truth, everybody gets mad at you and attacks you because you're not a legalist and you're not gonna play the game. You might say, what are you talking about? Tying it all together. Paul was a tent maker. He was giving out the good news, but he was also working. He wasn't dependent on the carnal Christians in Corinth or anywhere else. He was working with his hands because the city of Corinth, would have been trying to manipulate him speaking the truth, you know? That's what I'm talking about.